If we're getting near to the Yom Tov of Pesach, the Purim's over, so we launch into Pesach and Yom Tov. Pesach is the Yom Tov that anyone who suffers an identity crisis during the year, Pesach is a very good defining moment. There's a million minhagim. People sell chametz, people don't sell chametz, people sell open bottles, I don't sell open bottles. My Zayda open sold an open bottle, but this year I'm makbid it. Whatever, you're clearly, Pesach, your camp becomes clearly defined. Right? Do you put your phone in plastic bags? Do you not put your phone in plastic bags? So I wanted to cover one of the inyanim. It's a big mavocha. Some people do it. Some people sell chametz. Some people don't sell chametz. Some people won't go near chametz that was sold. Some people hold that if you eat chametz that was sold, you're shaketz. Right? Just to give it, I'm not giving any halachic psak. Just to give a little bit of a background as to what maybe some of the complications in mechiras chametz in modern times is. So the truth is, if you look in the Gemara Pesachim, you won't find anywhere in the Gemara Pesachim a discussion really on Mechiras Chametz that we have today. The only allusion, remez, to Mechiras Chametz is in the beginning of the second parak. The Mishnah says that Michael Lenachmi. But over there we're talking about a regular standard sale. A guy had his bottle of Willet and he felt too bad to flush it down the toilet because it's bourbon. And bourbon is better than scotch. Scotch he would put down, but bourbon, he couldn't bring himself to put down. So instead, he had rachmanis, he sold it. But over there, we're talking about a regular standard sale. The guy took his willet, he sold it to the guy took it. Right, gendik davaisa, nothing to talk, there's nothing left. The concept of taking chametz, which you own, and selling it to a guy, the first mention of it really is in the Tosefta in Maseches Pesachim, Pesachim Perek Beis. The Tosefta brings down in Halacha Vav, he says, Yisrael v'nachishai b'ayim b'svina. You have a yid and a guy that were coming on a boat, v'chametz b'yad Yisrael. And there was chametz, the yid had chametz on the boat, and he couldn't get rid of it, he was going to be stuck on the boat for the remainder of Pesach. He's allowed to sell it to the guy, or give it to him as a matana. V'chayzer v'lekeach mimenu l'akar Pesach. And after Pesach, he could go and repurchase the chametz back from the guy. Providing that when he gave the matana, he gives it with a matana gemur. It has to be a complete matana. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan obviously speaks out that anyone who learns this Tosefta, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's saying any chiddush. What would be the problem? What would be the issur of selling chametz to a guy? So he said, Aruch HaShulchan, which is the chare, the pashm shan, Tosefta, everyone learns the Tosefta like this. The Aruch HaShulchan just reads the duch. The Aruch HaShulchan says, the Tosefta is discussing a scenario where you're selling the chametz to the guy, and both you know and the guy knows that your intention is to buy the chametz back. And he knows that he's never going to touch the chametz. And he's just doing it to do you a favor. And he knows. So the whole thing really is one big fat hoax, Ponzi scheme. But doesn't make a difference. Tosefta is telling you that it's mutter. And not only that, the Tosefta goes on in Halacha Zayin and says not only could you sell it to the guy, but Rasha Yisrael Shiyayim Lanachri, the Yid is allowed to tell the guy, he's allowed to tell the guy, listen, right? Listen, Sylvester, you're buying chametz anyways, right? So, what do you need? $100, $1,000, whatever it is, $20,000 worth of chametz? Buy $30,000 worth of chametz, right? Buy 30. Shema, it's tzarech v'homeg v'echom v'mcha achar pesach, because maybe after Yom Tov I'm going to need the chametz. Well, I'll come and buy it back for you if I need it. If I need it, right? So the Tosefta says, and Aruch HaShulchan again speaks it out, that the Tosefta is saying not only are you allowed to sell it to the guy, but you're even allowed to tell the guy, at least in the terminology of the Tosefta, you're allowed to be meramis to the guy, that your entire plan is really to sell it, be to buy it back. Right? You're selling it really to buy it back. Not only that, the Beis Yosef brings from the Aguda, the Bach brings it, there are certain ones that have a girsa, that not only are you allowed to be meramis to it, you're allowed to tell the guy lahedja, and this is how the Mishabura Taka passes la halacha, the Mogen Avraham brings it down, the Taz, that you're allowed to tell the guy lahedja, please buy the chametz, and I will buy it back from you after Pesach for a profit. You're not going to lose. I'll make sure that you gain from it. Right? So this is the first introduction where we have the concept of what we see where a person owns chametz, he's selling it to a guy with the intention really of buying it back. Now, there's a big discussion. We just quote the Bachar Shar because he puts it so beautifully. Exactly how the mechanics of such a mechira work. Now, just as a, before even, as I thought, there are multiple different issues that that the pricing discussed with Mechiras Chametz, I wasn't even able to go through all of them. The Stei Chevet has about 40 pages, double-sided, on Mechiras Chametz, going through all the different issues in the Paiskim that they bring up. There are multiple different issues. Tonight, I'm going to try to cover some of the three probably most basic issues that we find in Mechiras Chametz. So he says like this. The Bechar Shar brings down, Bechar Shar is actually discussing an interesting Shiloh. He says during his time, the minig was that the Yidden used to sell their animals to Gayim, and the reason is because they needed to give animal feed to their Gayim, but the animal feed was chametz. But you can't feed chametz, so you can't have enough from chametz. So in order to circumvent and to skirt the issue, they used to sell the animal to the Gayim, the same way we do in Mechiras Chametz. They would sell the animal to the Gayim for the duration of Pesach. During Pesach, the Gayim would feed the animal, it's his animal. And then after Pesach, the Yidden would go and repurchase the animal back. So the Bechar Shar, he's coming to discuss that child. So in the middle of that, he says, Dina Meikar, Dina, the Dina Pircha Mechiras Chametz Hanog. He says, from the start, he says, I don't even understand how the whole Mechiras Chametz thing works. He says, Ale Mucha Milsad Arama Tuva. He says, there's no greater scam than this, right? He says 97% of the time, the guy that we sell the chametz to is not anyone you would look to do business to on any other day of the week, right? Somehow, all of a sudden, Pesach comes. Pesach kint, this guy is a golden adar. Yeah, you sit there, we'll sell you not only my chametz, we'll sell you the entire North Miami Beach, South Florida, Hollywood, everyone's chametz. How much? $30, right? $30. The guy struggles to even pay the $30, right? He doesn't know. Maybe see if I could sell a couple packs of cigarettes. Maybe I could get it. I'll sell a speaker on the street on my bike. Right? Maybe. All of a sudden comes Pesach. This guy is on the Tzadik Yisrael. And we sell. You never, any other day of the year, the Bechor Shah says, you wouldn't even look at this guy. You would run away.
What if you sell Makira throughout the year?
Can you speak to Sylvester? He owns a bunch of them. So he says, you would never do business at the end of the day. He's like almost in almost every scenario, the guy that's purchasing the chametz doesn't have the means to even purchase the chametz. Forget about the down payment. He doesn't have the means to purchase the chametz as a whole. We're talking about a mass amount of chametz for the entire South Florida. It could be upwards, I don't know. If you add all the stars together, everyone's half a bottle of Willet, right? And they're half eating Geffen crackers. Costs a lot of money, right? It costs a lot of money. It could be upwards, let's say, $100,000, right? The guy doesn't have $100,000 sitting around. No, still, totally fine. We'll totally blind eye to it, right? Says not only that, the Yid knows he's never selling it, right? He has no intention of ever selling this thing. He's only doing it because he wants to get around the Isser, right? So he says, how on earth could something like this work? He says, this is what we call harama at the highest level. Now, for clarification purposes, it's before from the Paiskim that just because something is a harama, it's a scam, that doesn't necessarily negate the mechira. The mechira is a qualified mechira. But what the Bechar Shar is bothered by is why are we allowed to lechatchila go about in such a manner on the Isra Chametz, which is Isra Dairaisa, and go about and do such a mechira? Who gave us the right to do something like that? So the Bechar Shar says that the only Eitzah that he was able to come up with is that really Chametz nowadays is only an Isra Dirabana. It's only Nisa Drabbanu. Because since we're Mavakul the Chametz anyways, and Midei Raisa Bitul Baal Masagi, right? So really, Chametz nowadays is only Nisa Drabbanu. So since it's only Nisa Drabbanu, a Harama on Nisa Drabbanu, Hey Mamu, the same Chazal that said there's a Nisa Drabbanu of Chametz even though you're Mavakul, they allowed you to sell it even though you would never sell it to this guy any other day of the year, right?
You're not even
Mavakul. Oh. Frekt Aldach, that the Bechor Shar, it's a tarte disaster. You're telling me that the reason why I'm allowed to sell it is because I'm being mavatalit. But if you're being mavatalit, then you can't sell it. If you're being mavatalit, by definition, you're saying, I have zero ownership over this chametz. This chametz is ka'afra da'ara. It's nothing to do. I have zero ownership over this chametz. Yet that same chametz that you're mavatal, all of a sudden, somehow you're selling. How is that possible? That's an oxymoron, right? It's counterintuitive. You either own it or you don't own it. If you own it, it's Nisa Dairaisa, and you shouldn't be able to do Arama. If it's not, if you don't own it, then you can't sell it.
Obviously, the sale wasn't good. Anyway, it's Mavata, the Chametz.
No, but his whole kash is you can't sell on an Nisa Dairaisa. You can't do Arama on an Nisa Dairaisa. So you never answered the question. The Bechor Shor's kash is you can't sell, you can't do a Mechira, which is Arama, on an Issa Dairaisa.
I'm selling, I'm
You own it. You're selling it. It's the Raisa. I said, break all that random on the Bukhar Shar, and because of that, right? Because of that, basically all the Paiskim don't go, they don't follow the Bukhar Shar. So the Shaila is, so we're back to square one. So how does it really work? Right? How does it really work? Now, the Aruch HaShulchan already brings down that the whole Kasha of the Bukhar Shar really is non existent, because this concept that you can't do a Mechir, which is Aroman Isdei Rice, is not true. And he brings proof. Because by Pidyon Petach Hamar, right, the halacha is that you could circumvent the chiyuv of Pidyon if you sell the animal off before, right, before the animal is born. So he says there is a chiyuv d'araisa, and still we allow that Rama, even though you're going to buy the animal back from the guy after it's born. So he says, you see that you're allowed to do our Rama and it's d'araisa. Come on, all the Afrani, we have different rayas from Meiser. They bring many different rayas that you're allowed to do our Rama and d'araisa. So the whole Bukhar Shar, Kasher really falls to the wayside. But the Masa Shekel in Shulchan Aruch is very displeased with the whole Mechiras Chametz business. He said he doesn't understand. The whole thing is a hoax. The Yid is never selling it. The guy is never buying it. The guy knows. You know. I know. This is all just a Cinderella play. Yeah, we're going through it. We're going through the motions. But no, he doesn't have das to be kind of it. I don't have das to give it. And the Masa Shekel says that maybe in the time of Chazal, maybe you could say, because this is Daraisa, but he says that really he's very, very unhappy. So the Paiskim, there's a big mavoka. How exactly do you get around these issues that are brought up? So you can really, we have to, in order to really dissect the Shaila, you really have to discuss it from the seller's vantage point and the buyer's vantage point. Now, in regards to the Yid selling it, right, the question is, he knows that he's not really selling it. He's just selling it to avoid the Isser Bal Yerov Bal Yivatzeh. And he plans on getting it back right after a Pesach. So, how does that really work? So the Arletzian in Hilchos Shviyos, he brings down, he's discussing over there the Shaila of doing Mechiras Karka. Right? Doing Mechiras Karka, similar, not similar, but the concept of selling the Karka in Eretz Yisrael to avoid the Isra Shemitah, so that they can still do work on the ground, whether it works or not, he has 10-15 pages discussing the Shaila. At one point, one of the riots that the Matirim, that allow the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, the farmers, to sell their land, one of their rights is from Mechiras Chametz. They say, why is it any different than Mechiras Chametz? Mechiras Chametz is Nisdei Raisa. We allow you to sell it to the guy, right? We allow you to sell it to the guy, even though he knows, I know, that I'm going to get it back the second Yom Tov is over, right? So he says, so you see that such a Mechira has a basis in Halacha. So once you have such a basis in Halacha, so Mali Mechiras Chametz, Mali Mechiras Karka. Now, the Ohr Letzion says, it's not a dimin at all. He says, because by Mechiras Chametz, why are you selling your Chametz? He says, really, right, the primary ones that did Mechiras Chametz for sure are the store owners. He says, why are store owners? He says, they don't want to sell their Chametz? Of course they do. Or that's how they make a profit. That's how they live. Their whole panasa is from selling Chametz. So what are you going to tell me? It's an inconvenience? Okay. No. For the guy at the end of the day, right, the Yid is saying, listen, if at the end of the day, Sylvester decides that he wants to buy $100,000 worth of chametz. Gzodei, I'm making a profit. I'll work on it. I'll deal with the inconveniences. Right? So he says, so even if you want to tell me that the Yid really has no intention of selling it, at most, he says it's Dvarim Shebelev. And he says, by Dvarim Shebelev, the halacha is Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. Since he never articulated the fact that he never really wants to sell, and he went through the motions of a sale, so he says the halacha is, the sale is valid no matter what. So there's nothing to talk about. It's a valid sale. Now he says, just to finish it off, but he says, Mashenkein by Mechir, the by Karka, he says there's not a farmer in his right mind that would sell his land to an Arab. Right? Now there's obviously all other issues that you have to discuss, even if he does to take away the Kedusha, right? But avoiding all those shaylas, he's saying there's no one in the right mind in Eretz Yisrael that's going to give away and sell their Karka, that they're going to sell their Karka to a guy. You have to be a Meshuggah to do that. Right? He says you would be a Meshuggah to do that. So he says not only is that, so you're going to tell me, yeah, very nice, but it's Dvarim Shebelev. He says, no, it's not. That's an Umdana Devuchacha. Everyone knows that there's not a Yid in the world that will sell his land. These guys are willing to kill themselves, park themselves on the border of Gaza, right, just so that they could plant their cucumbers, right? He's like, and then this guy's going to go and sell it, right? He's going to sell. Of course not. It's an Umdana Devuchacha, and he says the sale is bottom. So, Akupanim, what you do see from the Arletzian is that in regards to the Yid, even though it's true that most of us don't really, are not really trying to sell it, we're just trying to avoid the Isabah Yerah Valimotze. But since we went through the motions of a Mechira and we did all the Kinyanim that are involved, right, which if we have time we'll get to, which we won't, but, right, so he says it's Dvarim Shebelev at best, and therefore the Mechira still works.
So the people that sell their homes, according to the Earl of Tzion, wouldn't that be a problem?
Commercial break.
The home to right. People want to avoid the bedikas. They sell the whole house. I made this up.
Anyone? Floor is open. I don't know.
Yes, people. There are those that do that. Yes.
Oh, you mean you sell your house? That's why the mechir is coming. That's why the mechir is coming. I'm saying. Were you saying Eretz Yisrael? You're saying an Eretz Yisrael. He's talking about an Eretz Yisrael.
What does that mean?
You're saying if you're selling your house in America and a guy, a non-Jew comes over to you and offers you $300,000 more for your house, you wouldn't sell it to him?
Maybe.
Moshe David, I think we got other issues. Your mechira might not be valid for other reasons now. You know what I mean? But it's talking about an Eretz Yisrael. These guys die for the land. Right? That's the whole thing. Ye mitzvah yeshuv haaretz. Yeah, so smarty for you. Yeah, so that's from. He said that's from the vantage point of the seller. Now, in regards to the buyer, right? The guy at the end of the day, he knows he's never going to touch the chametz. He doesn't even know 97, 99% of the time. He doesn't even know where the chametz is, right? Not only that, he usually doesn't even have access to the chametz, right? Which we'll get to, that's a different issue that we have to discuss, right? He knows he's not really buying it, so how does it work? So the Chassam Sefer in Yeridea brings a tshuva from the Night of Yehuda, who asks a question from the Avodah Zekeshuni, right? What's the kasha? The Avodah Zekeshuni says the halacha is that kinyan agav, right? When you make a kinyan al karka, you can sell metalto and agav the karka. Kinyan agav, the Chassam Sefer, the Avodah Zekeshuni says, does not work by a guy. Does not work by a guy. Why? Because a guy is not capable of comprehending the concept, right, that he's being, not only that with the karka, he's doing another kinyan on the metatlan that's coming along with it. So the Avodah Zekeshuni is of the opinion that kinyan agav does not work by a guy. So Frank the Night of Yehuda, the same way that Avodah Zekeshuni says that a guy is not capable of understanding that there's an agav going on, so he asks that, how are you going to tell me that when you sell chametz to a guy, he says a guy is not when he doesn't really want to buy it. The kasha is slipping in my mind, but he's somehow he connects the two somehow. Yeah. Then he says that a guy shouldn't be able to purchase chametz. So he answers that no. He found the Nemuk Yosef that says as follows: the Nemuk Yosef over there goes on the Gemara Bamitzia. If a guy finds a Mitzia on the floor and he falls on top of it, the Gemara says if someone comes and grabs it out from beneath him, right? The guy who grabbed it is kainan. What happened to Kinyan Chatzar? Why don't we say that the first guy that fell on top of it was Kainan because his Dalai Lama's blinds his Chatzar and his Chatzar was Kainan? So the Gemara says, because since he fell on it, it's a Mishnah, right? Once he fell on it, he's showing the world that the method in which he wants to be Kainan, this item, is through the means of Nefilo, or picking it up. And he doesn't want to use his Kinyan Chatzar, right? So the Now the Yehuda says that the Nemuk Yosef, in coming to explain the halacha, the Nemuk Yosef adds a very relevant point. The Nemuk Yosef says that the reason why a person is able to push away his kinyan chatzar is because chatzar is only kainan midrabanan. And since chatzar is only kainan midrabanan, so he says, so you have a choice whether you want to use it or not. The guy who fell on it is opting out of it, and he wants to use his nefila, so therefore it doesn't work. Zok, the Nadi Yehuda, mashma from the Nemuk Yosef, that what? That Louis, hey, you're doing a Kenyan Dairaisa. If Chatzar had Chatzar been a Kenyan Dairaisa, the Nei Yehuda says it's Mavur that you can't just knock away your Kenyan, right? It'll be kind of Balkarka. You don't have the option to opt out of a Kenyan Dairaisa, right? The Kenyan Dairaisa is automatic. So in Mela Zak Nei Yehuda over here, where the guy is going through Kenyanim, which Lachaira activated Kenyan Dairaisa, the guy doesn't have an option of whether he wants to take it or not. Even if he thinks that he doesn't want it to work, we don't listen to him. You can't push away a kinyan. You went through the motions, it's kind of automatically. Now, the Chassam Sefer says, with all due respect, right, your mission yaitzis mim is up, right? The case of the Gemara was talking about where the guy wanted to be kinyan, right? He wanted to be kinyan. The question is, what is the oifen he wants to be kaina? Does he want to be kaina through nefila, or does he want to be kaina through picking or kinyan chaser? So there, you have an option. If it's the rabbanon, you have an option of pointing away. Over here, by mechiras chavis, the Chassam Sofer says the guy never had intention to buy it. The whole thing is one big fat Cinderella play. It's a hoax. He's going through the motions just to go through the motions. He might come out a couple $100 richer on the end, right? He could care less about the chametz. He has no intention of eating it, looking at it, being kind of it. He's just doing whatever he tells him to do so he can get his pack of cigarettes at the end and walk away. So he says, there's no svara in the world that you could give that will say that someone can be kind of something while karkai. It's impossible. There's no such musik. You can't force someone to be kind of something. He doesn't want to be kind of it. So he says, so we're back to square one. So the Chassam Sofer wants to say,
it's not about karkai, nice.
He doesn't want it.
He doesn't care about it.
Okay. So now, the Chassam Sofer does give another answer. We don't have time, we'll skip it. But the Chassam Sofer's answer basically is, he says, Vaiter, it's Dvarim Shebaleit. He says, at the end of the day, the guy went through the Maisa Kinyanim, right? He did all the motions. He went through the whole Cinderella story. He did it. He never articulated he doesn't want to buy it. We don't listen to a word he says. You're telling me he doesn't really mind. Dvarim Shebaleit, and Dvarim. It's not an umdana. Maybe Taka wants the chametz at the end of the day. Right? So he says, Dvarim Shebaleit. So he says, so even from the kaina, he says at the end of the day, Dvarim Shebaleit. Dvarim Shebaleit ain't a Dvarim, and therefore the kinyan is a good kinyan. Right? The kinyan is a good kinyan. Now, we have to stop there, but there's a whole slew of other issues, right? Just to bring them out, and you guys can do your own research. One issue is that the Shulchan Aruch says that even if you do sell it, the halacha is the guy has to take the chametz out of your house. The chametz is not allowed to remain in your house. He's a medayka from a Chumas Adeshan, a Rishon, right? The chametz is not allowed to stay in your house. Nowadays, I don't know anyone that takes the chametz out of the house, right? Number two, the Bach says that in order to have a serious chametz about the chametz, you have to have a serious mistake. You have to hand over the key to the guy. If you don't hand over the key to the guy, he says it's batul and mevatul. He says there was never a mechira to begin with, and any chametz that's left in the house is chametz shavu la pesach and zasur hanah. So, what's going on? I don't know. Stay tuned.
I'm not really happy to run something.